We were displaced out of our home for 3 weeks. We just came back last week, and we're finally starting to get things back to normal, or as normal as they can be, and this is a big step.
Most of those buses are from Breezy Point, and none of them made it in.
I'm kind of happy being back.
Yes, kids going back to school at Breezy Point and some of those other areas where they've been stuck for so long thanks to Sandy. What a storm that turned out to be. Now much larger than what happened with Hurricane Katrina. Because remember, the hurricane itself did really wreak a terrible, just wreaked havoc on the people in Mississippi. But nothing like the damage of Sandy when it was all said and done. It was because that storm was so wide. It was much more costly than originally thought. Looking at the repairs and getting people back on their feet, getting all the power back, and all the power still is not back. There are still people in apartments who do not have power because they're not up to code now with the inspections. They can't put the power on in some of the places, and this is dealing with the landlords and everything else, and then it's a question of rebuilding. So $42 billion, that's what Governor Cuomo says the storm did to New York, so much worse than Katrina. And then you think of New Jersey, and then that doesn't even include other parts that were also hit a little bit by Sandy. The greatest impact definitely was New Jersey and New York, though, without a question. You know, when Katrina went through, brought a horrible loss of life. It was awful. But the financial toll here, I think, is going to outdo that Louisiana storm. It's like Cuomo said, if you look at how many houses were damaged, you know, you're talking about 400,000 houses, basically, compared to 214,000 for Katrina. In Manhattan, 22 million square feet of businesses, the property, is out of commission. So now you're talking about 46,000 new unemployment claims that weren't there before. So there's some big differences between the two places and what happened. Equally devastating in different ways, but certainly Sandy is going to end up being so much more. So $30 billion is what originally they thought New York would need. Now it goes beyond that. So the governor says that they've got to do whatever they can in the years to come to worry about power lines and tunnels and beachfront breakwaters and all that kind of stuff because they got to rebuild it. So then here comes the question. Rebuild or not? Should some of those beach areas be left alone and just have a naked beach? In other words, don't have a big fancy house or small house or whatever kind of house or apartment units right along those areas. Now, I'm asking that question realizing the answer is, of course, they're going to rebuild it because ultimately someone will pay the money and people will pay to stay there again. We know we have short memories, so Congress has historically in the past helped any disaster ripped up area, but how much can we afford to help? These are different times for the amount of money, $42 billion. And that's 32.8 just for repairs and rebuilding, $9.1 billion for preventing things like this to happen in the future. And the governor says New Yorkers shouldn't have to pick up the cost through higher taxes. Ugh. Because he says that would incapacitate the state if they did that, if they went with the higher taxes. Probably would, because when you talk about the tax base and all of what the taxpayers there have to pay, whew, it's like Fort Knox when you move to New York. There's some wonderful things about it, but boy, you are going to pay to live in that city. Oh, big time. Borough tax, city tax, state tax, federal tax. Yeah, throw in a couple extras there. And then the if you're commuting in and out and around, that's another tax, I think. It's just that high. So what will the government do? Will the government say, geez, we can't even afford to pay for these series of storms before your storm. We're willing to give you 32 and change, but we can't pick up the other costs. Or is it we can't allow this city, our biggest city, to go through this again, so we're going to have to pay for some of what ultimately might prevent it from being as disastrous next time by putting up things that will act as roadblocks, in other words, because there wasn't much of that along that Jersey shoreline or that New York shoreline or New Jersey for that matter. That's part of the problem for Chris Christie is he's tackling it. And then we have the all this has happened with Sandy, kids now just going back to school, and there's actually some snow in parts of New York. And very cold temperatures, as I was just there a couple of days ago. And it was pretty cold, pretty chilly in the city. And so some snow hit back east. And certainly in upstate New York, they had a couple of inches and just a light dusting in some other areas. But those cold temperatures are what's so tough on the people that are trying to still go through some of the stuff that's been left over. In other words, your house gets shattered. It's like a tornado, and boards all over the place, and they're coming in, and they're helping you, and they're using a backhoe. But there's still lots of places where they're trying to get to that, and then what to do with the debris. And then the debris is also washing ashore. Can you imagine? So on top of all of that, you have the debris coming ashore that you have to deal with. I mean, some of the people hit by Sandy are hoping for that 1 in 175 million chance. That's what they say it is to win the lottery. But Powerball already is up to $500 million. $500 million. And the drawing is on Wednesday. So the highest for the Powerball. And I think it even goes higher. The hours leading up to it, I believe you're going to see that it'll jump up a little bit more because of the frenzied interest in it. Even people who normally wouldn't play the lottery might plunk down a dollar or two or go in with people from work, because that's the thing. People from work collect the money and say, do you want in on it? And whether they have 40 or 10 or whatever it is, that's the amount they'll use more. So that theory is you'll have more numbers, and that's happened before. Groups of people have certainly won the lottery, and maybe the odds of winning at least seem to be better because you have more chances at it. You can buy more instead of just buying a few dollars worth. It's luck. It's pure luck when those numbers bounce around and the balls come up and then they announce what the numbers are. Are you kidding? There's people that play the same numbers over and over and over and over again. And we had Richard Lustig on, who won the lottery 8 times, and he swears that's what you have to do. But the problem with doing that is you better be able to always buy that lottery ticket, because the second you can't buy it, don't you know, like because you're off somewhere or you forget, that's when they'll draw your numbers and you'll be suicidal. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about the cost of wind power and whether or not wind power is something we should worry about when it comes to tax breaks. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Honest Resources, November 27th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,749. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,792.14, $896.07 for a half ounce, or $448.04 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,792.14, $896.07, and $448.04.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
What's going to happen, the tug of war, the fiscal cliff, and put any adjective attached to what's happening in Washington that you like to fill in there. But this has been the massive topic for not just the last couple of weeks, but really for the past year and a half on America tonight. And we love to have our friends on from American for Prosperity. And we've got Christine Harbin on. She is an AFP policy analyst. What we're going to talk about is something that is an interesting piece of the puzzle, and it could be kind of a bellwether as to what might happen with this tax situation. And it's the expiration, the thing that's set to expire anyway, when it comes to wind production and tax credits. Remember all the kerfunkle over what was going to happen with taxes and what was the break going to be and all of that. I mean, actually, we could go back years ago. So what happens when that expires? Are they going to let the tax credit expire there? Will Congress ultimately use this as a kind of a reform on larger tax issues? Christine, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me on.
So we know that, you know, it's probably something a lot of people aren't thinking about because, you know, how many people are getting that wind production tax credit. There are certainly a certain percentage of folks that are able to do that, especially some with the big farms and some that are actually using that as power. But, well, do you think this is just going to expire, and if it doesn't, and then it's ultimately, I'll call it renewed, if that happens, what does that show us either way? Letting it expire, letting it just drop off, or it gets renewed? What does it mean?
Well, I hope Congress lets it expire at the end of the year scheduled. That's for sure. I'm not sure if they actually will do that. But it certainly has a symbolic importance, and I think it foreshadows a lot of what they will do on tax issues later during this lame duck session before December and also into next session.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is the cherry picking of who gets what break where, when we know that, I forget what the number is, but it's like 90% of the country is small businesses. What about what's facing businesses and taxes there? Why can't we see... I'm making a statement, but I'll ask you a question about this. Why, Christine, is it that they won't lower the corporate tax rate or look to the small businesses and look at the tax code in that direction?
Right, Kate. You made a very good point earlier when you were talking about how few people are actually eligible to receive the wind production tax credit.
Right.
This is a very big carve out for a very focused group. Not everybody can actually be able to take advantage of this. However, something that a lot of small businesses, far greater number of companies and people, they're subject to our sky-high corporate tax rate. And so it really would be better if we got rid of all these cluttered carve-outs and handouts. The wind production tax credit is a prime example, but it's only one of them. And if what we did was broaden the base by taking those out and then bringing down the corporate tax rate to make us more competitive with the rest of the world.
Yeah. And so people know, too, this is set to expire, am I right about this, in 6 weeks, same time.
Mm-hmm.
How convenient. It's all wrapped up in there. You never know. And the thing that's interesting also, and you wrote an op-ed piece about this, and I had done a piece that was similar, not from the same perspective as you, but kind of similar about the cherry-picking thing. And so in the end, I guess what it is if you're well-connected and you have a powerful lobby, you're in. That's how you win. So isn't it still about lobbying?
Oh, yes, very much so. And you can see that with the wind production tax credit, you know, 6 weeks away from its expiration. You can see supporters and opponents like myself, you know, out in full force on Capitol Hill. It's an institutional problem, really. Groups that are well organized and well connected, who have a lot of friends in Washington, are able to lobby those friends to keep the playing field tilted to their favor.
Yeah. Ultimately, handicap this for us, Christine. I mean, you're there, you're analyzing, you're a federal policy analyst for Americans for Prosperity, as we said before. And when you break this down, you look at the chump tax code that we have, the broken down tax code. What do you think is going to happen here as time is ticking away overall?
Well, I can tell you what I hope is going to happen. I hope that Congress actually stands up against special interests like the wind lobby and other very focused groups like that, and actually says, no, we're going to put our campaign promises into action. We are actually going to eliminate these targeted carve-outs and make a very broad tax base for everybody to enjoy, not just its favorite few.
Yeah. All right, Christine, keep fighting a good fight. We'll talk to you down the road. We'll see what happens.
Thanks so much, Kate.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Hard to believe that the clock is definitely tick, tick, ticking big time, meaning the end of the year is almost here. Coming up on America Tonight in the next couple of weeks, we'll re-rack what happened this past year and forecast for fun some of the things that we think might happen heading into 2013. One of them has to be what's going to happen with the deficit. Are we going to lift the debt ceiling up again yet another time? What will happen to the fates and fortunes of some of the people who are in the political scene and are in other things that we watch, meaning when we're looking at technology and when we're looking at lifestyle and when we're looking at entertainment, what we think will ultimately happen there. It's fun to prognosticate, which also reminds me in our next show, Nail the Score. Don't forget it comes up in our third hour. All you have to do, just like playing the lottery, all you have to do is pick a side. Once our supercomputer has decided what the game of the week is, you call up and you tell us who you think's going to win and what the final score will be. And if you correctly get it, ding, 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 you nail the score. So the odds aren't like 1 in 175 million, but maybe 1.5 million. So the odds are slightly better. Because it is easy to pick the side, but then coming up with what the score will be and trying to hit it exactly on the head can be pretty, pretty tough. You know, let's put it that way. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, before we finish, we're going to have a conversation with Don Wiskin. I love this guy from Canada because he watched his whole family die from heart problems, and he was there, too. He was doing the walk of death, which is what I say. You feel like your arms are going to fall off. Your chest is pounding. You have all the symptoms of a heart attack. And, in fact, you are having one. But you somehow are walking down that path to the hospital, and you're either going to make it or you're not. His brothers didn't make it, but he made it and then was on all kinds of medication and stuff. And so we talk about why it's so much better to try to do something with the nutrients you're not getting in your body and how that makes a difference with your cholesterol and blood pressure and ultimately not having a heart attack, not ending up somewhere with the open chest and the worst pain of your life, getting out of a procedure and on all kinds of pills. I know three people now that that's happened to, and one person who died of a heart attack, and they found him an hour too late. There was no signs of anything, and then poof, that was it. He fell over, and he was gone just like that. And we're hearing a lot about heart attacks lately with women, with men, and there's really no gender discrimination or age discrimination. So we'll be talking to Don here at the tail end of the hour. And don't forget also, America Tonight will also be talking about Secret Santas. And if you want to know what a Secret Santa is, well, you're just going to have to wait and find out in the next couple of weeks. So, more reasons to listen. Find out what all the buzz is about. Hang with us.
Oh, my aching back. I've got to get some relief from my arthritis.
When arthritis pain rears its ugly head, rub on Smooth Gaiter, the 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gaiter provides topical relief from head to toe and everywhere in between to stop pain fast. Smooth Gaiter is made with all natural oils, including wintergreen, aloe vera, and eucalyptus in a safe, non-greasy formula. Rub Smooth Gaiter on your neck, back, legs, knees, hands, any muscle or joint where pain from arthritis, sprains, strains or backache needs fast 60-second pain relief. Smooth Gaiter can also be used for allergies, sinuses, fibromyalgia, and rheumatoid arthritis. In the time it took to listen to this message, you could have had relief with Smooth Gaiter, the 60-second pain relief. Go to smoothgator.com or phone 727-278-3137. Call 727-278-3137 or click smoothgaiter.com, the 60-second pain relief.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
Lunch is ready!
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
How I feel about dogs since I got Mahalo, but even before that, having looked at the problem of dog fighting and abandoned dogs and all the things that we see in this country that are so, I think, disturbing when it comes to animals, and particularly when we're talking about dogs and some of the awful things that we've seen in the past, there was a great big light that was shed on the problem when Michael Vick years ago ended up doing time for the dog fighting ring, and now, you know, he's out there in Philadelphia trying to promote responsible dog ownership. That's a different story. But the bottom line is, dog fighting, how prevalent is it in Los Angeles? I was just talking to somebody in Los Angeles about a big dog fighting ring that was busted up there. And I said, you know, what happens to these dogs? And the answer is many of them don't survive. And what apparently had happened here is that it was an Antelope Valley op where they had been brutalizing dogs for 20 years, and it was financing a couple's cocaine habit. How sad is that? The Humane Society in the United States estimates that about 250,000 dogs are fought each year, resulting in the death of tens of thousands of animals. Joining us now on the show, pleased to say that he's joining us, Scott Lynn Haisley. And Scott Lynn is the president of Animal Rescue Corp, and they do amazing things. It's a nationwide nonprofit that specializes in large-scale, logistically complex rescues. They were just called in over the Thanksgiving Day weekend, the long holiday, by the Tennessee authorities to help in rescuing 60 dogs used in a suspected dog fighting op. Scott Lynn, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Okay, thanks for having me.
So tell me about what happened when you were called in, and to give people an idea of what you saw, because I think some people don't understand. Well, what does that mean, dog fighting, and what are the conditions of the dogs, and how did you find them, and how did you find out about this?
Sure. Well, it's a bit of a long story, but I'll start from the beginning. It all began Thanksgiving night with a brush fire. The fire department in Chenop County responded to a rather large fire. The fire department responded to a rather large fire, and much to their surprise, they found dogs on chains, and they thought it was very suspicious and called in animal control. Fortunately, the fire didn't take any of their lives, and it's actually ironic that what should have taken their lives actually saved their lives because it brought us to them. So they called animal control, who responded and found what he suspected to be a large-scale dogfighting operation. He contacted us in the middle of the night, and within 18 hours, we were on the property. In a very short period of time, we were able to put our medical teams, our intake teams, our evidence teams, and our extraction teams together and get on the property and start cutting these chains. Meanwhile, we had our volunteers at our emergency shelter erecting an emergency shelter. What we found was very typical to a dogfighting operation. All the paraphernalia that you would typically see, treadmills, springboards, sparring ring. Actually found a noose on the property with burn piles and skulls in the burn piles below it. Found 60 dogs on very thick tow chains or logging chains. You know, these chains were 10 times the weight of the dog. Massive collars wrapped around their necks. It's supposed to make them look tough. And I guess the thinking there is the more weight, the stronger they'll be. Just a bunch of broken, emaciated, desperate dogs. With old fight wounds, newer fight wounds. I mean, it was tragic. All very desperate for our attention, all very sweet. Some a little more timid than others, but nonetheless very sweet to humans. And they quickly realized that we were there to help and just starting to trust.
Yeah. How many dogs were you able to save?
We've saved them all so far.
That's great.
I'm confident we will continue to be able to keep them all alive. Nobody's in critical condition at this point. I mean, some of them have some significant medical problems, but our vet teams have been working around the clock to do whatever we've got to do to bring them back to health.
Yeah. You've done this about, you've led these rescues how many times, Scotland? 20 times or more?
So I've led hundreds of large-scale rescues. I've been in that business of rescuing animals for well over 20 years, but I've probably done, this is probably around my 20th dogfighting operation, and this is definitely one of the hardest I've seen. It was grim, but nonetheless, they're off, and I can't say it's incredibly rewarding to be cutting that chain and looking into their eyes and making them the promise that today is the day that we end their suffering forever.
How prevalent do you think dog fighting still is in this country, given what you just saw?
Oh, I think it's very prevalent. I think they're, these guys are all connected to one another. They all communicate. I mean, as a result of us being on that property, I'm sure many dogs have been moved or even destroyed. So, you know, their buddies won't get caught because they all communicate with one another. I mean, there are hundreds. There are hundreds of organized dog fighters throughout the country, and there are probably thousands of more street dog fighters in this country. And this, in my very strong opinion, these dogs, this was an organized dog fighting property.
Wow. The people listening, is there anything that they can do to try to help combat the problem?
Report it. Obviously, if you suspect it, report it. You know, these cases don't come along often because these guys are often hidden in the backwoods, as this property was. I mean, nobody knew about this. If it weren't for the fire, these dogs would still be there. This property was at the very end of a very rural road, and then the dogs were back in the woods about 100 yards back into the woods.
In the case of these dogfighting operations, is it usually the American Pit Bull Terriers or other breeds, Beagles? What kind of dogs usually are involved in these ops?
Typically, the typical breed that's used for dogfighting is the Pit Bull. Certainly, we've seen other larger, massive breed dogs, but for the most part, they're Pit Bulls. And these good Pit Bulls are bred, conditioned, and trained to fight. Now, what we also found on this property were beagles, and I suspect the beagles on this property were used as bait. Obviously, I don't know the facts, but it's very common that you would find a smaller breed dog like a beagle that's used as the bait to start for fighting.
Yeah. You know, as you see this, and you are also caring for the dogs, you're seeing the conditions, as you said, you haven't lost and you feel very confident about that. Then what is the goal, to try to adopt them out to good families?
Not necessarily. I mean, ultimately, yes, that is the goal, but it's not that easy, unfortunately, when you're dealing with dogs that, again, have been bred, conditioned, and trained to fight other dogs, meaning they cannot be around. You know, as of now, they cannot be around other dogs. They're very sweet to people, which could be misleading because you would just assume, oh, they're so sweet to me, why wouldn't they be sweet to somebody else? But that would be a grave risk to put these dogs in front of other dogs right now. So what they require is reconditioning. And very possible, I had the Michael Vick dogs in my care. I was the executive director of the Washington Animal Rescue League, and we were a very innovative type of facility. And the district attorney on the case contacted us, asking us if we would take the most difficult dogs there so we could start the rehabilitation process. And we did. And we started rehabilitating those dogs for 3 months, and then they went on to other rescue groups to continue the rehabilitation process. So it is a process that could take months. And what will happen in the case of these dogs is we are reaching out to all the pit bull rescue groups in North America that meet a specific criteria through their rehabilitation process. And we'll be working with them to take these dogs. So these dogs will be transported to various states and again, even another country in Canada, where they'll undergo their rehab and ultimately be placed. Now, I would say certainly that applies to the large majority of the dogs. There were a few younger dogs and puppies that may not have to go through such an extensive process.
And so the rehab, as you said, it can take 3 months, longer than 3 months, just depends. I mean, it depends on the situation, depends on the dogs, huh?
Yeah, there's no way to average it out. We look at every dog as their own individual. You know, assess where they are and what the needs are to help bring them back, to turn them into the dog he's never had the opportunity to be.
Yeah. Scotland Haseley, ARC president, thanks for the work that you do. And let's hope if you see anything out there, report it. Let's put an end to dog fighting in this country. Thanks, Scotland.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Hey, Scotland, how many dogs do you think that you've rescued in all those years? Probably thousands. Or a
quarter
thousand.
Million.
Quarter million. Quarter of a million. Wow. 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 Good for you. Thank you so much for, like I said, for the work that you do. And let's hope that some people listen and pay attention. And if they see anything, they report it.
Well, thank you. It's obviously a great privilege to be in a position to save lives.
Thanks, Skyland. Have a good night.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future. And you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials. And you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or one day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hanging nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle that'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
Mantra on America Tonight. Some of you are starting to wake up to that and pay attention, thank goodness. And part of the reason, sadly, is because so many people that are famous are having heart attacks and dying or barely surviving. But it's not just the famous people who are having heart attacks. Unfortunately, a lot of people all across the demographics, whether it's a woman in her 30s or a man in his 50s or somebody in their 40s, a heart attack victim knows no boundaries. In other words, the demographics are wide open, sadly. And I've been preaching it now for a while. There's a way that you can help yourself, and it's by taking Extendivite. I saw the dramatic results with my cholesterol and my blood pressure numbers when I started to take it. So I am full on a believer in this, absolutely. And to hear the whole story of Don Wiskin, who's waiting in the wings, we're going to bring him in. He's in our virtual green room, probably eating something healthy. Go to heartdrop.com. A lot of you have asked me, oh, Don's story, I want to hear about it. Well, we've told you about it on the air numerous times, but go to heartdrop.com and keep this number handy, too, and it'll be on that website, but 877-928-8822. Don, what were you doing in the virtual green room?
I was eating something.
You were eating something. Hopefully it was something healthy, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah, a big chunk of garlic.
There you go, big chunk of garlic. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking of you over the Thanksgiving break because I came across a book called Nutritional Healing, and in the book it talks about some of the things that you've been talking about, how to be drug-free and using remedies like minerals, like herbs, instead of all the stuff that we're polluting ourselves with. And the last time when you were here, we were talking about the ingredients in Extendivite, because I always get asked that question, and that makes sense. People want to know, well, what are the ingredients? And you talk a lot about the power of cayenne, and you talk a lot about the power of the combination of the ingredients, which is what led to my dramatic numbers, which I saw with the cholesterol. And when people have these cholesterol numbers so sky high and the danger of that, I think they're looking for something, but the doctors sometimes just prescribe pills, and then they get on this pill train, and now we see what that leads to. But as you say so often, it really is about the natural ingredients, isn't it?
It is. And that book that you've got, what was it, Nutritional Wellness? Or
Nutritional Healing.
Nutritional Healing, I'm sorry. I have that book myself and quite a few others, and it does do a very, very good description of our herbs in there. You know, it tells you about the garlic and the cayenne and how well it is and how good it is and how, you know, how long it's been used and what it can be used for and some of the nutritional content of these herbs, which, you know, people seem to forget about. You know, they forget that it has essential oils and iron and magnesium, potassium, sulfur, zinc, vitamins A, B1, B2, and C, and that's just in garlic. So, you know, when you look at our product, the seven herbs, the cayenne, the garlic, the hawthorn, the valerian, milk thistle, ginkgo biloba, and bilberry, you know, as synergistically it is designed to work together in these herbs. Well, ginkgo biloba scares most pharmacists. You know, they go, oh, no, it's got ginkgo biloba in it. That might get too much oxygen to your heart and brain. But, you know, doctors in the 60s were told that they couldn't work with natural medicine without persecution from the College of Physicians and Surgeons. So if a doctor was to have said, oh, you should try Extendivite, you know, before I put you on all these other pills, it might help you. They really can't do that, because if they did and they got caught at it, they would lose their license to practice medicine because they would get come down on by the College of Physicians and Surgeons. Here in Canada, which is where I am, some of the provinces have allowed doctors to work with natural medicines. In Ontario, where I am, it was December of 2000 that the doctors in Ontario were allowed to work with natural medicine without persecution from the College of Physicians and Surgeons. And that is really something, because for over 40 years, they had them locked in, and they couldn't do anything. The drug companies would send in their PhD people to tell them how great this drug was in an off-label usage, and maybe you should try this, and try this on some of your other patients, switch them over to that. We've heard lots of horror stories of people having their drugs switched, and it took them a long time to get used to it. I mean, I still remember the first time they offered me 80 milligrams of Zolcor, the cholesterol-reducing drug. And I was so sick, I didn't know what was going on. I just couldn't believe how sick I was. And I read the label and it says, start with, you know, less than 20 milligrams and work your way up.
Oh.
And that was, you know, doctors and nurses who prescribed that to me. It's just crazy what's really going on out there. And that's why, because they just can't work with natural medicine.
Right, and the good news is, like you said, in Canada, it's good to hear that they're finally recognizing that. And because you make the point all the time, and that's what led me to that book and our conversations that we've been having for the past 6 months, over the soil. You have to think about it. What is in our soil, and what are we getting in our foods? We're just not getting the nutrients, are we?
No, and it's what isn't in our soil.
Yeah.
That's nutrients. I mean, we have robbed our own soil of these nutrients over the years. We've stripped it. That's why, you know, the corn, Monsanto has, you know, their GM corn, and it grows so well. Bugs won't even eat it. The soybean that they grow is so toxic that bugs won't eat them. That's why their crops are always so good. They consider them cash crops because they'll always be there. But we don't know what that's going to do to us. It's been generations. It will take generations for us to see really what's happening. But, you know, we have seen what's happening, and it's called cancer, and it's called heart disease, and it's called chronic ailments. Over 50% of North Americans have some form of chronic ailment. And, you know, we're the richest and wealthiest of all the generations of our past, yet somehow we've misused this money and we're not looking after the real things of our own health.
Yeah. So, you know, we know, obviously, you've had the success. I mean, I'm the poster child for it, somebody who's healthy, but then I start to see these numbers I had no idea about. And that's why I say heart awareness, being healthy with your heart, because I saw what happened in my family. And I'm scared to death, Don, of surgery. I've never had one. I don't want to be crawling into an emergency room with chest pains and all the things that are part of recognizing I might be having a heart attack. So I hope people are really taking heart, so to speak, to these conversations. And
well,
go to
remember, we talked about in June, or July, actually, July 1st, my one friend had woke up in the middle of the night, he couldn't breathe, and went to the hospital, and they wound up doing bypass surgery.
Yeah.
Well, he said that the worst pain he ever had in his life was when, you know, the cracking of his chest when he was trying to heal. You walk around for days holding a pillow up against your chest. That's how much you hurt. And I think to myself, you know, my God, you just had a heart attack. Your body's in shock. Your arteries are plugged. Yet they do this invasive surgery, and then you spend days in pain trying to heal. You know, I think, what is really going on here? You know, why aren't they addressing the problem? And why did they attack him so fast? Because he was a smoker. Why didn't they give him more time to see if, because he stopped smoking, to see if, you know, that would have cheered up a bit, but no, that's just not the way they do it. They just go right at you, and you know, he said he does not wish that upon his worst enemy.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. That scares me to death to hear that story, because I've heard it too many times from people that are not even 40 years old or just over 40. That's what's so darn scary. Somebody wanted me to ask you, Alice in Vermont wanted me to ask you that she was excited about Extendivite. I think her husband got her some Extendivite, so she's been on it. She's going to come on the show with me. But she wanted to ask, what else do you eat? What do you eat besides, obviously, you take that, but are you eating healthier and staying away from fast food?
Well, of course, we all have to stay away from fast food. I mean, the latest news is that even their breakfast sandwich can slow down your arterial flow 15% for up to 4 hours. So, you know, what are we doing?
Right.
But at the same time, it's really tough. I mean, I have a bowl of cereal in the morning, and then I try and have a sandwich of some form for lunch. I don't really eat a lot of meats. I've kind of got away from that. I do have a salad and a fair amount of vegetables, but, you know, it's like a carrot that we eat today. We need to eat 4 carrots just to get the same nutrients from 100 years ago from 1 carrot.
Mm.
So it's hard to say, what can I do? What can I do? I do what I think is right. I eat as properly as I believe I can. I try to stay away from fast foods and junk food, and I take my Extendivite every single day.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I do that, too, every single day, no matter what. Traveling, put it in a plastic bag, whatever it is, whatever I have to do so that I don't have any excuses. When I went to Ireland, I had it with me, no problem. So as we started saying at the top of this, heart attacks they don't discriminate. Across the board, it doesn't matter what age you are, what gender. Check out heartdrop.com. Don, always fun to chat with you. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Thanks.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you can be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.